with and lead to a better, happier, more fulfilling life. Get your copy at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, wherever books are sold. Pass the Positive. Road Trip, the Good Words book by Rick Randall.
Hey everybody, it's Trucker Randy, the Yo-Yo Diet King. I have literally lost hundreds of pounds in my life. SlimFast in the 90s, Nutrisystem in 2000, South Beach, Superfoods, they all worked in the short term, only to gain it all back, plus some. Now that I'm 65, I really wanted to find a program that would increase my metabolism to burn my belly fat, bring my hormones back to my younger days, without any exercising. Then I met Missy of MyPure Health Solutions. She explained how her program does exactly what I was looking for. Go to TruckerRandyHealth.com. Follow my journey with Missy and see that I dropped 22 pounds of body fat in the first 14 days without exercising and eating real foods. Again, go to TruckerRandyHealth.com and schedule a free consultation or call Missy at 269-964-4044. Let Missy change your metabolism just like she's changed mine. Do it today.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back into the show. Second half hour of our discussion with Pastor Chatfield. Pastor Chatfield, I'd like to read a statement by Senator Tim Scott, the senator from South Carolina. He says, and this has to do with the passage and ratification of the 13th Amendment. My grandfather growing up, he had to cross the street if a white person was coming. He suffered the indignity of being forced out of school as a third grader to pick cotton. He never learned how to read or write. Yet, he lived to see his grandson become the first African American to be elected to both the United States House of Representatives and the U.S. Senate. Our family went from cotton to Congress in one lifetime. And that's why I believe that the next American century can be and will be better than the last. And he wrote that in 2020. So that's an amazing story right there, isn't it?
Right. Yes. So, okay, you guys have all heard of the 1619 Project, and we've talked about this before. This
sure.
is the, you know, slavery came to America in 1619. First slaves came to Jamestown. We get it. Slavery is evil. But they build the narrative, the story that this country was built on the backs of slaves. It is intrinsically evil. The Declaration of Independence is written by slave-owning, slave-holding evil men. The Constitution is dominated by slaveholders. The whole idea of America is evil, slaveholdering. We need to purge ourselves from all the evil of our past. Now, the problem with that is, we fully admit that slavery is evil, but we deny that the whole of America was evil. We had a war. God in his sovereignty, the Almighty has his own purposes, as Lincoln said, brought a civil war upon us that we tried to avoid but couldn't be avoided, and slavery was extinguished. Yes, Reconstruction gave us a lot of promises, and we're going to have Freedmen's Bureau, and we're going to have equality. Actual real equality didn't really happen even during Reconstruction. A lot of advances were made. There were schools were established, Freedmen's Bureau, black people started to own their own farms. But there was an awful lot, even during 1865 to 1877, an awful lot of prejudice and hatred, not just to black people but to the Yankee in the South, in the old Confederacy. Not everybody, but significant. The only thing that tempered all that was Christianity. It tempered it. They believed, they would argue that, Southern Christians would argue, during slavery, and even after, Lincoln was assassinated, and we had the 13th and 14th and 15th Amendment, that black people are intrinsically not equal. They're inferior. They argued that. And they resented the national government and the Union troops coming down there and forcing things on them. Now, let me switch back up to what happened in 1866. In 1866, you have Andrew Johnson, the moderate. He's a Democrat, actually. He's a moderate Democrat who served as vice president with Lincoln. He became president. But the abolitionist wing of the party, the Republican Party, swung into power, and there was ongoing war between Johnson and virtually all the Democrats in the North and a few moderate Republicans that survived. The radical Republicans took over. And a lot of them did something that we would call, that was called waving the bloody shirt. They would say, well, my son died in this war, and they wanted to force the Southern people to accept the, as equals, the blacks, the freedmen. Now, and their intentions are good. Listen, that just can't happen overnight. It's really going to take 100 years. There are a lot of good things happened during Reconstruction. But once the Union troops left, the whites that were there, who understood how to manipulate things, there was a systemic restriction of black civil rights, voting rights, all sorts of different things. And they used law to do it, called the Jim Crow laws. They would be like poll taxes and or literacy tests. Black person would come in to vote and say, okay, quote for me the Declaration of Independence. They couldn't do it. Well, you're not literate, you can't vote. I mean, there's all sorts of ways to deny people, freedmen, their vote, and they did. And that went on for a long time. Not every place in the South, but many, many places in the South. And so by 1900, the freedmen of the South had very, very little civil rights. That is simply the way that is. Many of them began to go north. And that is, of course, you guys know this, but before the Civil War, there were very few black people living in Michigan, Detroit, Chicago, Illinois, the North. It was only as Reconstruction broke down that they began to migrate north. Now, let me tell you how Reconstruction came to an end. The legislatures were swearing an oath. They were coming back into the Union. But in 1876, Samuel Tilden, a Democrat from New York, running against Rutherford B. Hayes, a Republican from Ohio, and the election was disputed. I think it was Arkansas and a couple of other states where the newly formed legislatures, there was a split, and there were conflicting results come in. Who really won the election of 1876? It was disputed. So Congress appointed a commission of 15 members, 8 Republicans, 7 Democrats, to decide who really won. Surprise, surprise. 8 Republicans said Hayes won. 7 Democrats said Tilden won. Oh, boy. So it was really disputed. They had a compromise. And here was the compromise. Democrats said, look, okay, we'll give the election. We'll endorse this election of 1876, and we'll give it to Hayes. With the understanding, the agreement, that you're going to remove the federal troops from the South. So in 1877, that's like 12 years after the war was ended, the last Union troops that were there to make sure laws and the Constitution was enforced, they left. And it did not take long after that the Southern whites were able to enact legislation and use terror tactics to deprive blacks of civil rights. That's a part of our history. They did not have a lot of civil rights. There was a group that sprang up right after the Civil War called the KKK, which was, you know, designed to frighten black people either to move or to toe the line. And you just gave the illustration of Tim Scott's grandpa. Let's say that would have been about what year? 1910, 1920? Somewhere into the 20th century. I mean, it's hard for us to imagine a white person walking down the street and a black person having to cross the street because you couldn't walk on the same side with them. And or keep your head down and never look at a white woman. Not even say hello.
They would say, you're
being an uppity black.
Mm-hmm.
Or they would use another word besides that. But nevertheless, sure. That happened. There's no sense denying that. And it took a while. Listen, this does go to show you. In the end, people's hearts have to be changed. Now, having good law is important. It is very important. But good laws have to be changed by a good heart. People have to be taught. The worst thing about slavery and prejudice is it violates the most fundamental law of God. The most fundamental law of God is love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. The second most fundamental law of God is love your neighbor as yourself. It's the royal law according to the scriptures. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Do you want to be discriminated against? Do you want to have your rights taken from you? Do you want to be judged by the color of your skin and not the content of your character? Do you want laws that differentiate between black people and white people? I thought we wanted a colorblind society. I do. I still do. I don't want that. And so what's happened, especially in the last 30, 40 years, it's like a pendulum is swinging back and back. Listen, I know younger people who see that, and they start to kick against it. I'm not talking about people I know. I mean, they can see, we need reparations, you know, and that would just stir up more trouble. Now, there was talk of reparations back in the day, but it couldn't be done. It can't be done. If I own if my great-great-grandfather owned property and had slaves, you can't hold me responsible for my great-great-grandfather, what he did, and take part of my property from me to give to somebody else. That's not right. And that violates a Bible principle that the son shall not bear the iniquity of the father, nor the father the iniquity of the son, but every man shall bear his own burden. That violates a Bible principle. We have to move on from here. Treat people the way you want to be treated. And so it wasn't really until the 1960s, almost 100 years later, that we had more civil rights legislation. And today, I know people will say I'm naive, but I don't see massive amounts of racial prejudice in our country anymore. I don't see it. It's not in my heart. And I don't see it. I don't see it. But there are people that want to stir that up, not because they care about racial equality and they care about justice. It's because they want political power to go to the left and pull us into a socialist communistic state. They want to stir up animosities and stir up the old hatreds. And we can't go there.
They're not going to.
That's what's happening now.
Well, back when I was an owner-operator, I own a semi-truck, started June of 2005, and I went through March 6th of 2009, and when I was working for FedEx, they wanted to assign a team driver to me who just came out of truck driving school, and he was a very nice young black guy. He had a family, a wife, and a couple of kids, and because of my semi, I had a team bunk, driver bunk, above my bed. And we would rotate. He would drive during the day. I would drive at night. But they paid me to take him on as a team driver because they wanted me to teach him how to basically be a truck driver and how to do things. And I've got a short story, very short. I'll interject when we get back from the break. But we'll wrap this up. Final segment of our history lesson discussion with Pastor Chatfield. We'll be right back.
I'm Justin Michael. I come from more than a century of Republican heritage, a family that has served this country, this state, and our communities with integrity and conviction. My great-grandfather, Edward C. Morrison, served Michigan in the State House as a proud Republican, and that legacy lives in me today. I'm a strong Republican, a combat veteran, and a constitutional conservative, and I believe in limited government, fiscal responsibility, and secure borders. Our district deserves a representative who won't bend, won't break, and won't play political games. Paid for by Justin Michael for Congress.
Gun owners in northern Michigan don't have to go far to get their firearm problem solved. Curtis Gunsmithing handles all gun work, adjustments, bluing, rebarreling, cleaning, and even FFL transfers. Need a stock refinished or some custom work done? How about a trigger job? That's right. Let the gun doctor, Tom Curtis of Curtis Gunsmithing, take care of old Betsy. She'll be in good hands. Call 231-347-3487. That's 347-3487. Curtis Gunsmithing of Petoskey.
If you have pain in your back, neck, shoulders, hip, knees, wrists, or feet, Dr. Gary Willey's Chiropractic Services in Sheboygan has a robotic laser treatment for you. This technology takes away pain, inflammation, and promotes healing. Experience robotic laser pain relief at a special new customer price. Call us for fast relief Monday through Wednesday to learn more and to schedule an appointment at 231-627-4300. Again, 231-627-4300.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, CEO of MyPillow. I support this show, and I would like to offer you our biggest discounts for listening. So please go to our website, MyPillow.com, and put in the promo code at the end of this message to get the biggest discounts. Again, thanks for listening, and God bless.
Thanks, Mike. Folks, go to MyPillow.com and enter the promo code TRUCKERRANDY or call 800-654-9659. Trucker Randy here. Let's face it, we're all getting older, but we don't have to feel the pains of getting older. Most people and even our pets have daily pain. Don't let pain slow you down. Get natural relief with CBD products from Patriots Relief. Designed by nature and trusted by millions, CBD synergistically works with your body to naturally relieve pain along with many other benefits. CBD is not marijuana and you will not get high. Vicky and I trust Patriots Relief products because they truly work. Go to their website, patriotsrelief.com, then call Tim and his family at 877-230-1776. Mention the promo code TR1 to get the biggest discounts. Again, call 877-230-1776 and mention TR1. Patriotsrelief.com. Everybody, welcome back into the show. A final segment of our history lesson discussion. And just to wrap up that truck driving story, Pastor Chatfield, when they assigned me this young black man married with kids, just got out of truck driving school, I picked him up in Ohio, and I took him to a load that we did from Ohio down to Florida. And then we got another load when we unloaded that first load. We went from Florida right across 10 all the way out to, I believe it was either Arizona or New Mexico, I forget where. But, you know, he would drive during the morning. I would sleep during the day. And when it got dark out, I would take over and he'd go to sleep. And the truck never stopped. I mean, other than us stopping to eat and take showers and fill up the tanks with fuel. And heading down from Ohio to Florida, didn't experience any problems. But it was amazing as we were traveling across 10 out of the panhandle of Florida, stopping in, you know, Alabama, Texas, wherever we were at. I got some pretty dirty looks from some of the truck drivers. And it was like, really? It's 2007. That's when it happened with FedEx. And I'm like, you got to be kidding me. You know, and it was like they didn't say anything, but the looks were there, if you know what I mean. And like you say, and it's amazing. The South, even some of those Confederate flags that you still see in certain states, and private residences. Of course, it's not at state houses or public buildings anymore. But it's like you said, it definitely takes a long time.
Right. I'm not going to judge the hearts of those who fly the, you know, Confederate battle flag. Nevertheless, you know, it to a lot of black people, it represents slavery. That's what it represents.
Oh, absolutely.
And so I would never fly it. But I realize some people fly it, saying it's just our Southern heritage. We don't like slavery now, but we're not going to give up all our Southern heritage. That's their argument. And I can't judge their heart, their motives, why they do what they do. Let me just read in conclusion that the Reconstruction era didn't happen the way Lincoln wanted it to, but it happened. And eventually we've come around on that issue. I believe it.
Absolutely. And we
got other issues that we're struggling with now, but here's what he said in his second inaugural. I'll have time just to read part of it. He's talking about the Civil War. He says, both read the same Bible and pray to the same God, and each invokes his aid against the other. It may seem strange that any man should dare to ask a just God's assistance in wringing their bread from the sweat of other men's faces. But let us judge not that we be not judged. The prayers of both could not be answered. That of neither has been answered fully. The Almighty has his own purposes. Woe unto the world because of offenses, and it must needs be that offenses come, but woe to that man by whom the offense cometh. If we shall suppose that the American slavery is one of those offenses which, in the providence of God, must needs come, but which, having continued through his appointed time, he now wills to remove, and that he gives to both North and South this terrible war as a woe due to those by whom the offense came, shall we discern therein any departure from those divine attributes which the believers and a living God always ascribe to him? Fondly do we hope, fervently do we pray, that this mighty scourge of war may speedily pass away. Yet, if God wills that it continue until all the wealth piled by the bondsman 250 years of unrequited toil shall be sunk, and until every drop of blood drawn with the lash shall be paid by another drawn with a sword, as was said 3,000 years ago, so it still must be said today, the judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether, with malice toward none, with charity for all, with firmness in the right, as God gives us to see the right. Let us strive on to finish the work that we are in, to bind up the nation's wounds, to care for him who have borne the battle, and for his widow and his orphan, to do all that which may achieve a cherished and just and lasting peace among ourselves and with all nations. That's what Lincoln wanted. That was his view of Reconstruction, with malice toward none, with charity for all. Now, it didn't work out exactly like that. You know what? We still live in a sinful, fallen world. But we have a good country. We have a great, good country. Not perfect. We don't ignore our history, but it's still good. We have a good country. Lincoln saw it. It was only after the war, when he looked backward, could he see God's hand in all of this. Nobody wanted this war, but God brought it. Blood had to be shed to pay for the sin of slavery, and the slaves had to be freed, and they were. Now, they were discriminated against for a long time. That's true, but they weren't slaves. And now we live in a day where racial prejudice and bigotry are far, far less than what they ever were. But we'll never get away from all different types of bigotry and prejudice and hatred. Why? Because we live in a fallen world.
We've got to keep preaching the gospel.
Well,
I got to believe, like you say, preaching the gospel and getting people, you know, to live this revival that we need to go through. And I think it's happening. But in time, generational, I mean, you know, 100 years from today, it'll be gone. I mean, just look at how much it's come so far. 1960, Civil Rights Act had to be passed. You know, Johnson and the battle that went on through that whole thing. But, you know, hey, 2060 is going to be here very soon. We may not be here, but it's coming. And, you know, God willing, we'll see where that goes. But absolutely appreciate it. Good history lesson, sir. Greatly appreciate your efforts on that.
Okay, real good. You're welcome, Randy. God bless you. God bless everybody.